Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Hello, my name's Chris Paul and I am the CEO and founder of Man on Inverclyde, a mental health charity based in Greenock in the west of Scotland. And we're bringing you this message today to raise awareness of mental health and raise awareness of our charity and how we can maybe support you, your friends or your loved ones if you need it. Now, we started off as a suicide prevention charity and we're continuing that mission. We want to break the stigma attached to mental health. We want to break the stigma attached to men's mental health, and I know that a lot of men will be listening to this podcast, so please get in touch with us via Man on Inverclyde on social media. You'll find us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. If you're not on social media and you want to get in touch with us via email, just type in support@manoninverclyde.com. Our landline here is 01475 910258. So yeah, get in touch with us if you're struggling with your own mental health or you're concerned about a friend or a family member. One of our staff members are volunteers here to support you. Thanks for listening.
Hello and welcome to the Gallant View Rangers podcast, the podcast on all things Rangers. My name's Colin McDuff and I'm delighted to be your host this evening as well, 2 days away to Rangers finally kicking off the 2022-23 season. I said it last week, I thought I needed a four-month break after Seville, but this is going to be the longest two-night sleep in my life. Here to help me through the next 2 days, joining us via abroad, first of all, Davey Tomlinson. Davey, how are you doing?
Great, thanks. Thanks for having me on again. Looking forward to the pod and really looking forward to just, what is it now? It's under 48 hours anyway, so we're creeping towards the first game of the season and really, really look forward to it. Can't wait.
By the way, I'm loving the old McEwen's Lager night top in the background there, Davey. Absolutely, yeah. Thing of beauty, that sip.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I tried to put it on. I was going to try and wear it, and I put it on. It was okay to hear, and then I thought, well, no, I'll leave it. I'll hang it up.
Yeah, but if we win the table this season, we'll get Davey Tomlinson on with his boob tube. That'll be a sight for everybody.
Oh, that'll frighten everybody. I'll tell you.
Joining us for the deep south, freshly tanned off his holiday, Mason Stewart. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, well, good, thanks, mate. Thanks for having us back on. I wouldn't call it tan, pretty burnt still, to be honest with you, being a ginger, but no, feel refreshed, and especially after last season, Seville feels like such a long time ago, and I remember getting home from Seville and thinking, I just want this season to end, but I am desperate for Saturday to come around, and hopefully we can get 3 points and go from there.
Here's hoping, mate, here's hoping, and we'll definitely get into that in a bit more detail, and making his return on 2 weeks on a trot. Chris Paul, how are you doing, man?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. 2 weeks in a row after not being on for a while. Aye, but all good, my end, mate. Looking forward to discussing the season ahead tonight.
I know, it's an absolute buzz. Comments already coming in. The first one there, Mason Stewart has mayor holidays in the Queen. I think we can all agree with that. Seville and Lake Garda in the space of 3 months, mate. It's all right, it's all right. We're obviously live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, wherever you get your live stream. So get your comments and questions coming in, and you know we'll chat them through as we go in the night. Quick call to arms. We're looking to do hopefully a live show every week for most of the season, as well as bring you some other content. Chris Ball does
away days.
The away days, fucking hell. It's not even a complicated name, the away days. So I listen to them as well. Chris Paul does the away days. We get the 10 questions interviews, and we'll still get more pods out throughout the rest of the season as well. If you want to support the podcast, you can buy us a coffee. I've just put the link in the comments. It'd be very kind. If you don't, that's cool, man. Just give us a like or subscribe or tell your pals about us. That's the main thing that we get people tuning in. So without further ado, Davey, before we look ahead to Livingston on Saturday, what's your thoughts on pre-season so far? Has it been a good workout, and have you liked what you've seen so far for pre-season?
Well, I definitely like the fitness. If we go back to last year when we played in Europe, I think we played a Malmo team that were into their season already, and we just looked totally unfit, in my view. This year, no, we've seen against West Ham. It didn't show up so much against Blackpool, but against West Ham, it really showed up that we were really looked fit, really looked good to go. And really the same against Tottenham. I mean, I don't think we get beat by Tottenham, but I really don't think we let ourselves down. I think we played quite good. I think we kept up with them. I think we let Harry Kane get away for 2 goals. But and I would say they were the better team. I mean, you could see. But I mean, let's face it, one player of theirs cost more than our whole team put together, so virtually. So it's not surprising that they're far better than us, but or far better they weren't. They're better than us, but they played better football probably. But I mean, we played some brilliant football as well. The goal, Matondo to the flick, by Tavernier and Cholak putting the ball in the net. Absolutely goal, brilliant goal. I mean, if we score goals like that every week, then I'll be quite happy. Although if somebody just puts the ball over the line, I'll be quite happy as well. But no, I thought the season's good. I mean, West Ham. Don't know what Mason thought about that one. He's probably the best one to talk about that. Is it West Ham you support, Mason, or is it your mates?
That's a sore subject.
I just thought I'd rub that one in.
So anyway, defend yourself there, mate.
Definitely not a West Ham fan. Definitely. Yeah. No, the missus and all my mates and missus are West Ham season ticket holders. So it was just before we went to Lake Garda, it was nice to get the win and rub it in, especially the 3 goals we scored. They were 3 brilliant goals, weren't they? So, but yeah, definitely not a West Ham fan, David. Come on, mate, come on.
So same with you, Mason. Just on Saturday, I know we were speaking before the game, and David touched on it there, the difference in class. I think it was always going to be a golfing class. Against Tottenham, they've spent big this summer, and they've got Harry Kane's one of the best strikers in the world, and Son's no that far behind them. I like how Van Bronckhorst was very open with that. He didn't want to try and get a result. It wasn't about trying to get a result. He would have played 5-4-1 if that was the case. He wanted to test Rangers and how well they can put their own style in a team of that class.
Yeah, I say I agree with Davey. I thought we played well. I thought they were slightly the better team. But I think first half we had about a 20-25 minute spell where we played some really good football. Probably the goal we scored, and we kind of took the foot off the gas a little bit. But yeah, you mentioned there Son, Kane and Kulusevski. I thought he was brilliant as well, to be fair. At wide for them, he caused Barisic and Suter all sorts of problems. But I think apart from them three up top, I thought Lundstrom and Kamara played really well in there. I didn't think their midfield until Bissouma come on. I thought we probably looked a little bit better in midfield. But that was a really good test. I like what Gio said because it's sort of you want a good like result, but you know the performance at this stage is the main thing. And Gio said that if it was a you know competitive game, he would have gone five at the back at half time and sort of sat in and frustrated Spurs. So to see Kane get that sort of space for the two goals, I'm not sure would happen if it was a competitive game, because you just don't give someone like Harry Kane that much time and space to pit the net out. But yeah, it was a really good workout, and West Ham the same. I thought obviously you were touching it last week, but Lawrence and Matondo, exactly what we needed. And again at the weekend, they're going to be real good signings for us.
Chris, just on what Mason was saying there about it didn't have the full competitive edge of a competitive game, but I liked what Conte said after the game in his press conference, where he picked Rangers at Ibrox because he wanted a real game against a real team. That was, I don't know, the wee guy in me still kind of gets a buzz when one of the world's best managers will come and give any sort of credit. But I think that's probably, it's still a friendly, but it's as close to two first teams playing the way they're wanting to play for the full season as we're going to get.
Yes, I said that at the time. Obviously, the English League usually starts a wee bit after us, but because of the World Cup being where it is, obviously it's all kind of around about the same time. So the Spurs that we saw is probably the Spurs that's potentially going to begin into the season. So I think it's been well documented how fit that he wants his players to be, and I think you could see that at different points. So it was a good test for me. I don't get overly excited or done about pre-season friendlies, just because I feel for me it's about getting minutes in the tank, it's about getting sharp. But certainly at points we were playing some really nice football at the weekend. But for me, you've just got to, don't get me wrong, I wasn't one of the ones standing up applauding Harry Kane, but I was in my head. You've just got to applaud that absolute genius. Yeah. A footballer, it's not often you get to see players like that at Ibrox. And his goal his first goal was outrageous, absolutely outrageous. So no, it was good to see. It was packed. Ibrox was packed. I got a couple of messages on the day of the game if anybody had any spare tickets, which is absolutely bizarre for a friendly. So it was a good wee day, but for me it's just about getting the minutes under the belt, nothing major happening. I was quite happy that the training day as well passed without major issues as well for the most part. So I decent day at Ibrox, and we just go towards the sort of proper stuff starting on Saturday.
Before we move off that friendly, where do you stand in the whole clapping an opposition player? Because I don't really care either way, but I tell you what, see the amount of scrolling I've been doing in Twitter, just watching people arguing. I'm one of these guys that I'm just here for the comments. It's been fucking brilliant, but is it a big issue either way?
No, I don't think it's a big issue. I would only do it if it was utterly ridiculous, performance like the way, if you remember it, an El Clasico with Ronaldinho and the Real Madrid fans clapping him, and it was just utterly ridiculous. I think that guy was doing in a football park. So for that, over a like prolonged game, I would do it. Never for my rivals, of course, but potentially I would maybe do it, but certainly not for a friendly. But it was a good finish, but I think people were just showing appreciation of a good player, really. I don't have a big issue with it either way, but it is funny seeing a meltdown that some people have, because there was a couple of people having meltdowns around about where we were sitting, about people clapping, and I'm like, liven up, man. It's people can do what they want, but I'm not totally against it or for it, but I can see why people do it, and certainly can see why people done it for Harry Kane. Just his movement, his touch, his finishing, unbelievable, an absolute brilliant striker, without a doubt.
Aye. Oh, well, fair play to everybody who got extra staunch points and managers points for no crapping them. That's maybe moved up a tier there.
I think Colin, one of the big games I sort of remember that Rangers supporters really started loving the other team was Ajax when they beat us 4-1 with big Derek Johnson, I think played centre-half that day, and Johan Cruyff, and that was just a brilliant Ajax team. And you couldn't help but just bewonder them. And it was really, really, I think that's the first time I really, clapped a team or went home and just thinking, God, what a team. I wish we'd that team.
I was guilty of it once, an Old Firm game. Walter Smith was still the manager. We scudded Celtic and Glenn Leuvens was coming on the park and I went fucking tonto. I think that's as close as I'll get. I'm not fond of very many Celtic players, but I was fond of him.
See, what always puts me off then, that was the time that Celtic cheered Bert Contamin onto the park and scored a worldie for about 40 yards. And I always, no matter how bad I've felt, you know, like last season, obviously Shane Duffy getting a wee cheer and stuff like that, no matter how bad or how much I've wanted to do that, I've always avoided it because that could just come back and bite you right in the arse, is like the least you expect it. I mean, Bert Contamin finishing that chance, I mean, there was no chance that was happening in any other game, you know. So I'm always wary about doing it the other way, definitely, but as I said, I don't see a big issue with it. I remember probably the most blown away I was with a performance at Ibrox was either Riquelme or Benzema.
Riquelme was unbelievable for Villarreal.
Amazing.
That's the one that fits it for me.
And Benzema, obviously, with a hat-trick for Lyon, which kind of broke your heart in a sense, so you've not really in a place to be clapping, are you? But I think we are quite... we appreciate good football at Ibrox, but we're also very tribal, you know, in a sense that... you need to achieve that at Ibrox, I think, to get it, which is where I was kind of thinking with Kane. It's a pre-season friendly. I'm not sure he actually did, but it's an interesting topic, but certainly for me, it would need to be earned, and it certainly would never be a rival for me. You can't be clapping right your rivals, not that half a park. It's just outrageous.
If you start that, you'll end up playing fucking friendlies against your rivals in another continent, but that's another conversation. Mason, the first questions came in about the actual up-to-date football as we go off on a tangent. Friend of the pod, David Heard, his first sentence, I always need something to worry about. That, if that sums up an old school Rangers fan, then if that doesn't sum up an old school Rangers fan, I don't know what will. Basically, Davey's worries about, can we expect another 50-game season for Tavernier? This time last year, we were going in with a lot of excitement around Nathan Patterson, and rightly so. We don't have him. We do have Zukowski, who's been on that old Ibrox steroid coffee. and we've got the young Adam Devine starting to break through. What's your thoughts? I'll be honest, when I've been looking at the squad depth, it's the one area I've not looked at, because I'm probably taking for granted that Tav's never going to leave us forever. Where are you thinking?
He's just a machine, though, isn't he, Tavernier? Even like pre-season, I think they was off for like 10 days and he's out in Dubai. He's just incredible. But I'll be honest, you could say that. We could say this about, you know, with Morelos, him being out. You could say about Goldson. You know, if Lundstrom gets an injury now, that would be an issue. It's just, but I do think, you know, we haven't seen enough of Sikowski to sort of say if he's, they're not going to be Tavernier's level. But I think Devine pre-season's done himself no harm. I think he's obviously played a couple of times left back because, you know, Barisic has gone off, and he's looked good. But we would have said the same about Patterson until we got a chance. So let's give them both a chance. Hopefully, I don't know if Sikowski's still got an injury because he hasn't featured at all. Devine seemed to be number two at the moment. So, you know, I think we can. What you could, as he said, if you worry about players getting injured all the time, then you know we're struggling. But hopefully Tavernier, he's an absolute machine, and that continues.
Yeah, Davey, I've been really impressed with what I've seen of Adam Devine. I need to caveat all of this with has been B team games and Lowland League games as well. But Mason makes a good point. We would have had the same reservations 6 months. This first 6 months of Nathan Patterson. I think Davey makes a really good point, and he asked the question, how would we feel if they play away to Celtic? And I think that's always a test for it. Is somebody really ready to be a regular first team Rangers player? What would your thoughts be with Zukowski or Devine?
Well, I've seen Devine the last few weeks. He's been playing quite a lot and he's made quite a lot of errors. He looks okay for me going forward, but whether he's defensively, that's sure at the moment. I wouldn't say for his whole career, but at the moment he looks defensively not that strong for me. But he looks quite good going forward. Is he ready for to take on teams like Celtic? I would hope that he is, but I fear that he isn't. And the Polish guy, I just haven't seen him. I mean, has anybody seen him? I heard he was played quite a big part in the goal that we scored. It was against Queen's Park.
Queen's Park,
yeah. So yeah, he might be. I don't know why he's not been playing. I don't know whether he's been injured or. Yeah, I mean, you just haven't heard anything about him at all. He's, I think he played one or two games and then he just disappeared from the spotlight. And yeah, whether he's good enough or not, I don't know. I don't think anybody. I think only Gio can answer that one. And but the chance that he's going to move to Ava out the road is very, very small. I don't think he's going to do that. I don't know whether Yilmaz. I don't know whether he can also move across and cover on the right hand side. Many fullbacks can. It just means you've got to set yourself up differently. And we still get King. King can move into that position. And I think King will probably be the in before Devine, to be honest with you. In a perfect world, I think we would have brought another good fullback in, but I doubt we will. I think I think
you said it there yourself, that the only person knows is Gio, and I don't think we're going to expect to have to be moved out of the way for King, Devine or Sikowski, because Tav's the captain and he's the first choice right back for a reason. So I suppose it's just when we get a chance to see these boys, it's that they take the chance to impress. So we've got the so we are a bit more relaxed as we can be as Rangers fans, that should Tav need a rest or get injured, then we've got somebody to come in. Chris, just moving away from the right back position, looking at the window as a whole, looking at Gio said last week that unless somebody else moves out, won't be any other additions. If we were to have a squad as is going in September, how would you be feeling?
Yep, I would be okay. I think I said last week that the only worry for me was, as much as I like Borna Barisic, the only worry for me is going into him with your sort of really first choice and only choice left back, really. Tavernier is an absolute machine, Mason. You're spot on. He was day in training after, you know, when he was meant to be resting. So he's unless he obviously picks up an injury, which anybody can get, I appreciate that. He's not really going to be dropping down in terms of fitness. He doesn't want to get rested any games. So I think we're quite comfortable, obviously, there. We brought in the boy at left back as well, who, based on his amazing YouTube videos everybody does for players, looks good. So quite small, though, but absolutely rapid down the wing, so at left back. I think for me, that was the only issue that I was highlighting. I know there's some thought or concern around the sort of striking options that we've got with the injuries, but I just feel that we'll probably be all right. We'll get the players back. There's obviously talk about Alfredo signing a new deal as well, which seems to be gathering some sort of momentum, which would be absolutely lovely. So no, I'm all right with it. I think we shape up okay. You know, the likes of King and co, the Vine we can maybe rely on if needed. I'm sure the boys would come in and do a job, and no matter where that opponent was at. So I feel all right with it. I feel all right with the squad. And if Gio's all right with it, then certainly I think we should be his fans and trust the process. What was one of my worries this season, definitely, given how bad, in my opinion, January's business was. I felt that we missed an opportunity there to kind of put a marker down and win the league. Obviously, we've done well in Europe, but the business in January just wasn't good enough. But certainly, Rangers have impressed me in this transfer window. Losing Bassey was a sore one, but very quickly, you know, move to get somebody else in. So I've been impressed with that, and it was a concern. So they've answered that for me, and I'm content. If they're content, I'm content with it.
Mason, my Wi-Fi cut out on Saturday, so I didn't actually get a chance to see the game. I had the ticket booked in New York because I had COVID. But my Saturday night was just filled with watching the highlights, watching, trying to get as much of a look as I could at Big Čolak. He took his role well. Saturday night was a buzz, looking at the videos of Čolak. Monday night was absolute euphoria when I seen that Alfredo Morelos was back in the training pitch. I know it was a light session he had, but that is music to my ears.
Yeah, I'm just trying not to get too sort of look into it too much, because I think it was his first session back with a squad. So, but let's hope the next couple of weeks they step him up and he can come in and get on the bench. Just be on the bench, just make such a boost, because I'm looking at it now. You just mentioned Čolak. I thought he had a really good game Saturday. He didn't get that much service. What he did get, he put away. But his first touch and some of his build-up play is actually better than what I sort of thought it would be. I thought he was very much going to be a penalty box striker, but he's not slow. Like he don't stop running as well, Čolak. I'm quite happy with that sign. For the money we paid, I think he's going to be our top goal scorer this season domestically. I think he will score more than Alfie, because Morelos is just different in terms of what he does. I think we've got a better finisher in Čolak. But that would be for me a little concern, the striker area with Roof's injury problems, and just having Čolak there at the minute. And I think, as you said, Colin, in the chat the other day, is it 9 games in August?
Yeah.
So that is a big worry. We've got no, until Morelos gets back, we've got no other option. And every game is big for us, but especially them qualifiers. I think a club like ours should have 4 strikers anyway. I'm not one that says we'll get by with 3. I think the amount of, teams we have to break down domestically, it's always good to have options. So I would hope we can get Simpson, Katic, maybe Kelly out, and with their wages, can get another striker.
I think so as well. I think when Gio said nobody will come in because unless we sell players, I don't think it'll be like for like replacements. I think you're right. It'll be a lot of the, for want of a better word, the deadwood. Glenn Middleton's still there as well. No getting a game. Just picking up wages. So you'd like to think Kelly, Middleton, Simpson, Katic, that would free up money to bring in a decent striker. That's just us assuming that Gio wants a striker or whatever he needs. Mason's made his first prediction for the season that Čolak is going to get 42 goals. Davey, let's start looking ahead to Saturday then. I think for me the last couple of games has been really telling for what I think Gio wants to go with. Let's start with the back five. I think the fullbacks and I think it's going to be Tavernier, Golson and Barisic, because the new left back isn't in yet. And then I'd imagine it'd be Suter or Sands, but I think more likely Suter. Are you happy with that as a back four?
I think we'll start with Suter anyway. Can I just say, unfortunately, we've lost a team out of Europe. Whether we'll get beat 2-0, I'll just throw that one in. I'll go on with Rangers now.
I'm pretty sure, like the Gallon few, there's about 12 of us in that group chat. We could field a side to beat Slit, Silver Rovers, whatever the fucking name is. That's wild. That's Scottish football's a riot, isn't it?
Unbelievable. I'm going to say, I think we're all talking about strikers, and I think the boy Lovelace, I've watched him now a couple of times on the RTV, and you can say he's only 16, but for me, if he's good enough, he's older. If he's old enough, he's good enough. If he's good enough, he's old enough. And I've watched him, and the guy is absolutely, what I love about, and it's the same with Čolak, if you've got Alfie, when somebody's coming in at the front post, he moves to the back post. But when you've got Čolak, and now I've seen it with Lovelace, they try and get in front of the defender. And I like that, because that's where you score most of your goals. Because if you go to the back post all the time, the ball doesn't normally come through to it. So I love players that try and get in front of the players to just side foot it into the net. And I've seen that with Lovelace, and I've seen that with Čolak. So I think that that will bring on a lot of goals. And especially when you've got Matondo putting in crosses the way he's been putting them in, because he's been hitting the back line. There's not many people can stop him once he's got a head of steam up. I said it in last week's pod, the number 8 from West Ham chasing him for about 30 yards. I was always his cheeks sticking away out there. I thought that was one of the funniest things from the build up. But I don't think we're paying £6 million for a left back to leave him the whole season on the bench. So I think Barisic. Barisic played really good against Blackpool and against West Ham, but I thought him and Suter was an awful lot of space between them in the game against Spurs. I thought they get turned really, really easily. I haven't seen the Turkish boy anyway. I've only seen the same YouTube films that everybody else has been watching. And funnily enough, the YouTube films I saw, I didn't think it was that great. I thought most of them were a lot of mistakes in it. So I thought, okay, maybe this is the wrong way around. Maybe the YouTube films are rubbish and he's going to be brilliant. So
hopefully.
Well, let's hope it, yeah. But I don't think he's going to be sitting on the bench all season. So I think he's going to come in at some point. Obviously, I don't know how far he was at training yet, but he's obviously not played with the team or played with. So
he's still waiting on his work permit. So that's why I'm saying Barisic, he'll be Barisic will be in a left back. Well, Yedman, he's still waiting on his work permit.
I heard that with Bassey as well. Bassey's not got a work permit either. He couldn't play at the weekend either, I believe so.
Fuck Bassey, he's away. No, I'm not.
Who's that? Yeah, but I think that'll be. But for me, the big one. I hope McLaughlin comes in. I mean, I know McGregor made some
I've asked you who's starting centre half. You've told me Lovelace should come in and McLaughlin should come in. Fucking tell me who's going in next to Goldson.
I thought I answered that. I think it'll be Suter to start with.
So Neil and Forrest just asked: Is there an argument to Ben Davies come in? Do you think that's too early?
I don't think he's played with any of the players yet, has he? No. So if he comes in, it'll be for a half an hour to begin with. And I don't see him starting at the weekend. I don't see that. Especially although Suter on the magic turf. I don't know how his knees will stand up to that. So he might put him in for that. I think one thing's certain now, I think we can all see that Katic hasn't got a place. In fact, I think they've said he can go. So I think we can stop that discussion.
I want to come back to McLaughlin as well, but I want to get the other boys' thoughts on the centre-half situation, because it's, Chris, I'm kind of torn. I think it will be Suter, but I would like to see James Sands in, personally. I think with Rangers got to dominate a lot of the ball. And John Suter's no bad in the ball, but I've liked what I've seen of James Sands so far. And last season, I was maybe torn where he'd be and where does he fit. Almost that Ross McCrory, where he can play right back, midfield, centre. Does he turn into a utility player and doesn't really mould into a position? But I'm looking forward to seeing him get game time alongside Goldson.
I think he will go for Suter, to be honest. He's used to playing on that pitch. I wouldn't imagine Hearts would have been resting him on any of the plastic surfaces. So I think he'll probably go with him, but again, it wouldn't be an issue for me if it was Sands either. Comfortable on the ball, but John Suter's really, as you've touched on, he's really good on the ball as well. So we're going to have most of the play, you would imagine. I remember the last game that we played in Livingston. It was Bassey. Touching on him again, but it was Bassey and Goldson that played centre half, and Bassey had a lot of the ball. Bringing it forward. So either or, those two positions for me. Obviously, it will be Borna. I don't think Yilmaz can play yet. Obviously, you touched on that. And likely Suter. If think Gio's, by the looks of it, obviously can't continue to pick him. Started him, obviously, at the weekend. I think he's obviously trying to get that. And I think Goldson will have probably a decent say on who plays alongside him as well. You would imagine, you know, signing that new contract, he's one of the big leaders in the changing room. So, but for what I was trying to look at at the weekend, obviously he's not going to be playing up against Harry Kane every week. Suter for sure, but very good on the ball. There was one part actually with transition of play that he actually took the ball from the goalkeeper and drove forward. I don't know if you remember that. He drove forward and tried to find a pass. He actually broke the kind of midfield line and he tried to do that a couple of times. So I think he'll be quite brave on the ball. So I wouldn't have any issues with him starting at all and at the weekend. And he's been probably signed to play in games like that if you would, you know, but Davis, I don't think will come in yet. Purely for the fact he's not really come in and played with the players yet, so it would be a bit, it would be a bit of a mad one putting him in here because Livingston can be just one of those mad fixtures. You either come out there with a comfortable winner, it's just pure helter-skelter. We saw Big Hellander struggle up there a couple of times as well in the past, so wouldn't it be a nice place to start your first game, I would think, but I would say that's your pairing, Goldson and Suter.
Mason, I think we're starting to see where the signings and where the pre-season that regardless of the pairing in defence or potentially a back three, if we start to see that, there's going to be an expectation that all our centre-halves can play well with the ball. Seen that with Sands and Suter. Hollander was never the worst in the ball and we know Golson does like the old 40-yard diagonal. How do you see that playing out on Saturday if we try and play out for the back? Because I like it in theory, but my only thing is if we go with a patient build-up, we just really allow 10 men to go on their 18-yard line and it's just back to square one again.
See, I think Suter's perfect for the way we play. The only thing I would say, I think his better position would be the right side where Goldson plays. I think a couple of times he's not looked as comfortable on his left foot, but the West Ham game, there was one pass, he fizzes it into Lawrence, like, first time, and it just gets us on the counter. And I think to have, as you said, clearly Gio is working to centre-halves to do that. One thing with Suter as well, he always looks forward. It might not always come off, but he's always looking to play forward, and that'll be big for us as well in a game like Saturday, because we know Livingston are just going to sit in, make it difficult for us. But, not just the sort of the back four, it's got the midfield as well, I think. You know, Lawrence in there, and I think Matondo won't be, he's got a knock. I don't think he's trained this week, so probably expect Scott Wright to come in. But they need to be sort of getting on the half turn, be completely different to the two pre-season friendlies we've had where Tottenham West Ham come at us. So it'd be interesting to see how they fare on that pitch. But yeah, for me, I think it'd be Suter. Remember, we've got the Champions League qualifier as well coming up. So I think Gio's going to pick whatever pairing it is back four and just, you know, I don't think you can be throwing players into that either. Even if Yilmaz gets his work permit, I think you've got to go with a back four. And that starts with Saturday.
No, and I think you made a good point that Livingston aren't obviously got to come out to us anywhere near as much as Tottenham or West Ham did. And so I think how quickly we can use it, I'm going to sound like one of these football manager wanks, how quickly we can use the ball in transition. Yeah, look at me, I've been doing my reading. You know, we don't want the centre-halves taking 4, 5, 6 touches, then picking a pass. We need to be moving it quickly. But Davey alluded to it there about John McLaughlin. That is a big question. So, Mason, I'll start with you and come with Davey. Is it McLaughlin or McGregor?
Yeah, McLaughlin, definitely. I think just from last season, you know, we spoke about McGregor a lot, but even the two sort of pre-season friendlies where McLaughlin played against West Ham, then McGregor Saturday, I still think McGregor's the better shot stopper, and I'll have that all day long. I think he pulled off some really good saves. The problem is the ball at his feet. I don't think he completed one pass at the weekend. There's a couple of times where he gave the ball to Richarlison, and then I think it was Son, and they should have scored both times. And McLaughlin against West Ham just looked so much more comfortable on the ball. I think there was one where he did sort of make a mistake, but the amount of times I think under Gio we're going to want to do that, especially against Livingston, it's a no-brainer. It has to be McLaughlin, and you know, if they get any set pieces, I just feel much better with John McLaughlin in goal. So it'll be interesting if he picks. I think obviously that will be his number one going forward.
Davey, what's your thoughts on the goalkeeping dilemma?
No discussion for me. It's got to be McLaughlin. McGregor's a great, the best shot stopper there is, probably in Scotland, maybe in Europe. McGregor, just the way he can play football, he blends the team, the back four, although he did take a few good few chances. He had a few Joe Hart moments.
He was forced to go and keep it up. He's in his byline against West Ham. I thought that was the next stage.
Yeah, so in the whole, I think that's what Gio wants. I think Gio wants that, would prefer a keeper that would play football. And for me, the fact that he comes off the line, I just that makes a big difference for me. I mean, even although I think we lose a lot, we maybe not always lose goals, but we put ourselves under a lot of stress by the keeper, knowing that the keeper's not coming, because it means your two centre halves, they really got to win the ball. Otherwise, the other team's got a free header at it. But no, I think it's definitely McLaughlin. I'll cut my answer short for you this time.
As long as you love me starting to go on about Lovelace and goals, that's
I was going to do my daily talk.
Now that Katic is away, Lovelace is your new favourite, isn't it? Oh, well, I know Katic isn't away yet, but now that he's known the old eye, I think it's got to be a David Tomlinson and Lovelace, but here's what me.
Oh, sorry, I missed that. Yeah, no, but ideally, I mean, we're all talking about looking for another striker. For me, I would be bringing the boy right away. That's I don't know. Obviously, Gio's seen him out, but from what I've heard, that Gio really thinks he's really good in the training field as well. Seemingly, he's put on a good show there as well. So, I definitely think it's one to have a look at anyway. Especially when we've not got him. Obviously, they're thinking of bringing somebody else in, and somebody else comes, but they've not got anybody else.
Good option to have, I suppose.
Sorry?
It's a good option to have if we can bring somebody in.
Yeah.
Chris, round us off in the goalkeeper. Probably a double barrel question to you. So McGregor or McLaughlin? And the second part of the question is, do you see Gio picking one and sticking with him? The reason I ask that, I don't know if you remember last season under Gerrard, the first maybe 9-10 games, McLaughlin and McGregor had about 4 or 5 games each, and we were rotating it in between Europe and the league. And I thought that just disrupted our back five quite a lot. I think I want McLaughlin, but if it is to be McGregor, I think we should take McGregor and just stick with him. I don't like the idea of chopping and changing week in, week out.
It's a strange one. I do remember, obviously, last season, and there was clean sheets as well that McLaughlin was racking up at one point for us. But for me, it's hard because obviously love Alan McGregor, but I think McLaughlin needs to probably get the nod just in the way that the season sort of ended for McGregor and the performances. It felt like this season was maybe a season too many. So I was surprised that he got the new deal even though I was, you know, I love Alan McGregor. I thought his sort of finishing moment with the Scottish Cup final and everything was ideal. Coming on, getting the applause that he deserves, going up, getting the medal, lifting the cup, probably partied for about a week, steaming. But I thought that would have been ideal for McGregor. But clearly, something's changed there. Because, I mean, he's been given that send-off to leave. Like, there's no doubt about it. And then, obviously, there's been a change there. Maybe they were trying to get something and it never worked out or whatever, and they've went in other avenues. I don't know. I'm not sure. But definitely, he's not getting that with the fact he's going to come back in and play games again. He was getting that to go. So, but for me, it's McLaughlin, just based on I feel that this is maybe a season too much for McGregor. Probably a good guy to hover on about the changing room and stuff, so I understand that. But you're right, you need to go with your number one and stick to it, and bring your other keeper in for cups or whatever, you know. But certainly if McLaughlin is the number one, then he knows that he's got somebody that's behind him that's chasing that position, because McGregor's not just going to want to sit on the bench every week. He's not that type of person. So, for me, that's where I would be going. And not to divert onto Lovelace, Davey, but he has played a number of games for Millwall. I think maybe 4 or 5, and he's played in the FA Cup. So this isn't a boy who's not played football at any level before. So it's not really too much of a gamble for me for him to be somebody that's sort of kicking about the squads. It would be a bit of a strange one if we didn't utilise that, if we were down to the bare bones for me, but I'll not digress too much.
Aye, well, I think, so before we even go to the midfielders, then let's talk about our front three. I'll stick with you, Chris. I think Kolač, Kent and Wright are going to be the front three in Saturday for me, Chris. Because there's that doubt on Matondo, I don't think we're going to risk playing him if there's any chance that he can play on Tuesday. I'm quite comfortable with that front three. On the bench, I would have Lovelace or somebody for the B team alongside Sakala. I would have another attacking option. Best case scenario, we go 4-0 up and we need to rest Colac for Tuesday. Any issues with that?
No, I think it's sensible. Gutted about Matondo. I'm going through to Livingston on Saturday, so I was looking forward to seeing how rapid this boy is. I'm reliably informed he's a 97 pace on FIFA, which sounds quick. So I was looking forward to seeing him in action. Genuinely was excited to see him, you know, play, but maybe Livingston away isn't a game for Matondo potentially with the pace, because he's not really going to get too much options to be going in behind anybody. This is probably more a game for your Tom Lawrence or something a bit more intelligent in the middle of the park. Wouldn't it be against that? Wouldn't it be against Scott Wright either? I think Scott Wright's shown that he can cut in from the right and take a pop as well towards the end of the season. He was doing that. I think it's going to be maybe a tighter game. That your wider players maybe won't feature as much. So I wouldn't argue against that. And certainly having, you know, again, who doesn't love Fashion Sakala? Do you know what I mean? As a person, he's a legend. I was told at the manager's day he was spending a lot of time with the kids at the training day and getting in pictures. My son's got about 4 selfies with him at different parts of the day, so he must have just not done any training. He must have just walked up and down and spoke to everybody. But out of all the players, I think him and Leon King, according to my son, were the two ones who were there with the fans and stuff. So he loves it. Do you know what I mean? He's a fan's favourite in that regard, but unfortunately, I don't think he's, as we touched on it last week, I don't think he's got it to take it to the next level. But certainly, come on against Livingston, you know, he could probably come on and do a turn. But no, I think your front three spot on there. And it's probably, for me, the key, actually, is who maybe plays in behind. Obviously, Lawrence, hopefully, similar to the role that he played. Because as we saw against Livingston the last time that we played there, I think it was Gio's first league game, actually, the last time we were away to Livingston. Scotty Arfield run amok with the kind of midfield runs. I think he had one over the keeper that he chipped. So that's probably your key at the weekend, as opposed to pace out wide, you know, cutting them from wings, because you're just not going to get the option of that. Livingston are very good at what they do. David Martindale's a great coach. He knows what he's doing, and he doesn't really give a fuck what anybody else thinks. He does what he does to get the best for his team, but you're not far wrong there. But certainly for me, touching on Lovelace, I would not be against having that boy in about the first team squad. And you know, you just never know. If you're a goal scorer, you're going to score goals, aren't you? And he's already been an established, maybe not established himself in a Championship, but Millwall are a decent team, and he's played for them. So why not get a bash, you know?
Totally agree. Mason, Chris touched on it there. It's probably more important as who's three behind the striker, the front three. So I think I really hope that Tom Lawrence does come in. I think it is too soon for Tillman anyway. And I think his intelligence will be just his speed of thought there, because too many times we've come into these games, we've got the ball edge of the 18-yard box and just passed it to left to right. So I think he'll be good with that. For me, John Lundstrom's still the best in there if he comes in. And probably the only question mark is it a Kamara, Jack or Davis or Arfield alongside him?
Yeah, I was sort of thinking about this one earlier with the midfield, but definitely Lawrence is the 10. As you said, I think it'll be a little bit too early for Tillman, but I was reading about him earlier and apparently the players are really, really impressed with Tillman. So that could be an exciting one. I just think it might take a little bit longer than Lawrence, because I think Championship and the SPL, I think probably Championship is a better league, but in terms of physicality, I think Lawrence can come straight in. He's got that little bit of dig about him, which we probably haven't had apart from Lundstrom as well. I think not only can he, you know, put himself about, but he's, as you said, he moves the ball really quickly. So hope he goes in as the 10. And I'm not sure, that's the only problem I've got with the two sort of number number sixes is Lundstrom would definitely be one. Kamara or Jack, you could probably toss a coin really with playing at Livingston. Sometimes I think Glenn Kamara slows us down a little bit too much away from home domestically. As good as he is on the ball, I think sometimes you need someone that drives. So maybe it'll be Jack, but again, that's quite defensive. So that you might see Arfield thrown in for Saturday and Kamara or Jack kept for the game Tuesday night away from home. So that would be the one I think to look out for. But I think we just need to go and hopefully we go and blow them away early. And that's what I want us to do this season is go and score early and go and get after teams. And I don't want to mention them, but that's what they've done when they went on their run. They scored and then 2 minutes later it's 2-0, game's over. So I hope with the forward players we've added, we're going to add numbers and, you know, we're not going to no longer see Kent getting, you know, doubled up. They've got something to think about on the other side now.
And we've seen that in pre-season so far, that we've been passing with purpose. Like, we've not even just for the back, but when we've been getting to the byline or to the clinical areas, the players have been brave and they've not always worked out, but it's allowed the likes of, we've seen Kent get his role against West Ham, and that's all because the likes of Lawrence Matondo, they were brave enough to go and play a different pass and take the ball.
It's just sharp. We just look sharp. We look sharp. I think when we do that and we play forward, as I was saying about Suter, you know, playing balls first time, just moving it, 1-2 touch. I think we've done it a period against Spurs as well, and they struggled to sort of cope with it for about 20 minutes. And against teams that are sitting in, that's what we've got to do. It's not rocket science. The players need to be brave, and I hope Gio's over pre-season. That's what we've been working on. And, as I said already, we can just go and, you know, blow teams away and move on to Tuesday night.
Do you think there's any chance of us playing Lundstrom at the back and pushing the two backs up? Playing a back three, Bisuter, Lundstrom and Goldson, and then pushing Tav and Barisic up? Any chance of that?
What I like about having Lundstrom there is I think he's wasted when he does go into defence, but it's a good option to have. For me, I think that's probably something that you'll see happen through the game if we need it. I think I'd like to think Rangers will start not quite gung-ho, but all guns blazing. We don't need any more than our two centre-halves covering the halfway line with how much of the ball we should have, I don't think.
I would agree. I think it's a needs-based thing that it just happens sort of fluid. Right. In the game, depending on what's on, I wouldn't be surprised if he does need it at the weekend, given the lack of space down the wings, unless you go for that sort of trial thing which happened with Tav last year when he was like an inverted right back, which was pretty weird to see him sort of doing that. But Gio's got things up his locker. I just think that's what I like about him. You just don't know what's happening. Your Lundstrom's at the back sometimes and you're like, right, okay, what's happening now? And then you've got players in different positions, but I think it'll depend really as the game goes, I think, Davey, but Gio's definitely not scared to make some tweaks and changes to the game as it unfolds. But I just think the game will be quite narrow and tight, so I'm not sure that pushing, you know, Tav and Barisic further up would do anything. But you never know. Never know with Gio, I suppose, see how the game goes. I think in the middle of the park, for me, just touching on who would probably go in there, I would probably play Jack, but I can get why Kamara would get a shout as well, because he's got a wee bit of air turn on him. You know, Gio has liked to play him in an advanced position at times last season as well, so he obviously sees that as part of his game. I always remember Neil McCann, who obviously worked with Kamara at Dundee, saying that he sort of chronically doesn't believe in himself in forward positions, but he's got the ability to actually carry it out. So, but for me, Ryan Jack always gets in a Rangers team. I love him. As long as he's not injured, I would always play him. You know, he's one of my favourite players. But either or for them. But Lundstrom for me in the centre mid position.
Well, if you look at the who passed the ball to Čolak for his goal, who was up there playing striker? It was Tavernier. So he gets himself up into the striker's role without just going down the wing. So, I mean, Tavernier is just a machine, isn't he? Machine.
And that could be something that we see at the weekend. You know, it could be because it is a bit narrower Tavernier is, he's a machine, but he's one of your biggest creative threats, without a shadow of a doubt, the biggest probably, in terms of his assists and his numbers. So might see the game actually pushing him towards being a wee bit more inverted as it goes. But I think, although Tavernier might be told not to get bombed forward, he certainly will try and get himself involved as much as he can in an attacking sense.
Last word in the starting 11, Davey, is there any you've heard that, you know, you'd throw in any curveballs in terms of the midfield three or the potential forward three, or are you quite comfortable with, you know, Kent, Colak and Wright, and then Lundstrom, Lawrence and another?
I think he'll just start off with the sort of a tried and trusted guys. Well, with Lawrence coming in, I definitely think Lawrence will be a starter. Matondo, will he play? I think if he's fit, he'll play. But it's doubtful whether he's 100% fit or not. If he's not 100%, he won't waste him because he'll want him for Tuesday night. Yeah, who do you play in the right wing? Probably bring in Wright in the right wing. I think he's a sort of a standard cover now if Matondo's not there.
I think this will be a good game for Wright because I don't want to say limited, he lacks confidence at the final ball, but when we're going to be wanting to be on Livingston's throat, he's really good after ball, he's really good at pressing, so I think he'll do a shift.
Yeah, I think Sakala, he's sort of a drop down, although for me Sakala beating players is probably better than Wright, but it's once Sakala gets past the player, he doesn't know what to do, he's balls in the middle are not that brilliant, but it'll be between the two who goes down the right hand side. I don't see any curveball there. I don't think there's anybody else, I suppose he could move Kent over to the right, but he's never done that before, so I don't see that happening. I think he'll just go for the tried and trusted. If Matondo's no fit, then he'll go for Wright and. The same as we've sort of been seeing. The starting on Lawrence at number 10, Colak up front, Kent out on the left. Yeah, just the same, Barisic. Yeah. I don't see any difference.
No, I think we're all in agreement with that then. So before, we're already, the last 10-15 minutes will be spent on predictions, but before I get back to asking you what your prediction for the score will be, let's, since it's live and since it's all recorded, let's just really set ourselves up for a fall. Chris, this was your idea. We're going to do the top six predictions and the bottom two for the forthcoming season. So since it was your idea, kick us off with your predictions, mate. Cool. And then I'll just say aye, same as Chris.
Need to know how these are going to go. I think I wanted to do them just to see how bad we actually got them towards the end of the season. But
I'll be typing these up. I'm going to take a wee note on them, by the way.
I'm going to go with the bottom two first. So I think St Johnstone will go down. I think they're a bit of a poor lot. I think they've got a decent manager, but I think they look potentially that, you know, if they continue their sort of hangover last season and continue it on, I think they've got potential to go down. And my second bottom team, who I think will give them a run for their money, who I think will implode very quickly, is Hibs. I think they look as if they're already, struggling for different stuff. Obviously, they went out the cup playing players who weren't eligible. Their manager's already kicking up about certain things. And they've signed a few players who could upset the apple cart there potentially. So
the patter coming out of Easter Road is fucking tremendous. Have you also seen that? Have you seen the new advertising for season tickets?
No,
it's choose Hibs in the style of Trainspotting. So the fan base in Scotland who get a bit worked up when we call them junkies. Their club's marketing is I don't need to do it together for you. It's fucking wild.
I think I just think that some of the players have signed it. They're either going to be brilliant, right, and finish third, or have a shocker And I'm leaning towards the shocker because obviously it's nice to have a wee bit of rivalry with Habs, but I'm leaning towards them having an absolute shocker this season and being down there. I actually think they finished bottom six last season as well, didn't they? So, which is strange. See, when you see they obviously beat us up when we were on our knees in the semi final, but when you see the players in that team in terms of ability, it's a baffling one actually because they have got some good players, but I just think that looks as if it's going to be a potential disaster. So we'll see how that goes. That's my bottom two, Hibs and St Johnstone, with St Johnstone going down. My top six is obviously Rangers at the top. Can I obviously say anything other than that? I think I say that every single year, no matter what.
A lifetime ban for anybody in the podcast.
Can't be doing that. Celtic obviously second. For me, I think it's going to be another close season. And, barring us going the distance again in some sort of European adventure, I think we will pip it. If we've got the transfers right, we start strong. I fancy us to win the league as I do most seasons. Third would be Hearts for me. I think they'll still do all right. But the only thing I will say about Hearts is the fact that they're guaranteed the six games in Europe. And I think what they might struggle with potentially is that sort of Thursday, Sunday. I think we've got the squad and Celtic have got the squad to cope with it, in terms of a domestic front. But I'm not sure about Hearts. That'll be the only one for me. But I do think they're the third strongest team in the league by a distance. The surprise package for me, fourth, would be Kilmarnock. I think they'll do well this year under Derek McInnes, so they'll struggle to get up through the Championship, but I do think they will do all right this year.
They're the back. Big season for him.
Yep. I think they'll do well. And the other two making up the top six is Aberdeen and Livy, just purely because I like Davy Martindale. So top six for them. They were really unlucky actually to miss out in the top six last season. I think they lost a goal in the last couple of minutes or something. So decent kind of community club, Livingston, so wish them all the best. They do a lot of good stuff in their community. So for them, top six for me, and that would actually be a relatively strong top six as well. I think Ross County will struggle obviously because they finished top six the last season, but obviously they've lost that boy who scored all the goals for them, Charles Cook. So, aye, that's my top six, and Hibs and St Johnstone bottom two.
There we go. Mason, here's your predictions.
I could just copy and paste Chris there, to be fair. I think he's got it spot on, but I think Hibs, I said before we come on live, that I think they've had an absolute howler in appointing Lee Johnson. I think they should have gone for Derek McInnes, to be honest. I mean, I don't care what they do, but that would have been a better option for him. But I think they'll be down there. I don't think they'll finish second bottom. My bottom two would have been St Johnstone to go and St Mirren. I think they're going to struggle.
Johnstone and St Mirren have both lost a lot of players this season, and don't really replace them.
Yeah, St Johnstone, they lose Rooney as well. The fullback, he's gone as well. He went somewhere in England, didn't he? I think they've been since they've won the double. They've been really, really poor, and I think they're only going one way. But yeah, top six. Mine would be pretty much the same as Chris's. Obviously, us to win the league. Celtic second. I'd probably go with Aberdeen third. I think they're going to be a lot better this season under Goodwin. I think they're going to be really hard to beat. And I think that Hearts having them games in Europe, I think they're going to really struggle Thursday, Sunday. As I said, they haven't got the squad. I think if they get a couple of injuries to key players, Hearts as well, they're really, really struggling where Aberdeen will be fresh. So that would be the controversial one. I do think Hearts are better than them, but I think the Europe factor will be key. And then the other two would be, the other one would be Dundee United in front of Livingston. I think Jack Ross and they've got Stephen Fletcher, didn't they, the other day? I think that's quite a good signing for him as well. So that would be my top six.
I believe Stephen Fletcher's still kind of ball man. Like, he must be, I don't know. He's been about for ages, does he know?
Yeah, I couldn't tell where he was. Was he at Sheffield Wednesday? I think he was down there with Barry.
You know, in France at one point, have I made that up?
No, yeah, he was at Marseille after Sunderland, but I think he only lasted 6 months. I don't know if he scored a goal, but I think for Dundee United, though, it could be a decent signing.
Definitely. So you're going
Dundee United ahead of Kilmarnock to make up your top six.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think McInnes, they'll be up there though. He'll have them up there. Again, it'll be awful to watch, but they're safe. They won't go down next season. I think, you know, they'll do well.
Yeah, you've done a slight diversion for Chris's in last minute to make it's like copy your homework but make a few spell mistakes so we know it's different. Aye, that's fair play, mate. Fair play. Davey, round us off, mate. This must be terrible for you. Used to, living in Germany and Holland, getting surrounded by Bundesliga and top flight Dutch football. Now I've got to ask you, who's the shittiest team in the fucking shittiest league?
Well, I've just watched Motherwell for the last couple of hours, so I don't think they'll be up challenging anybody. Although I didn't think that last year, and they sort of just pulled up at the end. Up Livingston are always a sort of a team that just sort of plug away. They beat the bottom teams. They've got that hopeless park, which is a bit for me is a big advantage for them. But I'll start off with the bottom ones. Well, I think it'll be Ross County and St Johnson. I think St Mirren always seem to get up above the relegation zone. They don't set the grass on fire, but they always seem to just manage to pull clear of the relegation zone. Ross County, I think, are going to struggle, and I don't know whether St Johnson have added anybody decent to their team, but losing that boy was a McCann a couple of years ago, or last season, I mean. That was a big loss for them because that boy was really good. So I think Ross County...
Ross County have basically no added them. They've not lost many people, but they've not really done anything at all. It's still a month to go, but it's been very meh, more than anything, isn't it, for them?
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't really hear a lot from what other teams are bringing in right enough, because I mean it's mostly from small teams down south that you've hardly heard of, so it's not really, they don't bring in big names where the papers are covered with the signings of them. I think Hibs, you guys obviously know what's going on better in Scotland than I do. I don't really know what's happened to Hibs, but they weren't that great last year, and if they've got worse, then that helped them. But I don't see them being in a relegation place. Up for it up top. Well, I've been listening, reading Charlie Nicholas has been saying, and Chris Sutton what he's been saying. So I think it's quite obvious who's going to win the league. Rangers. I've got to go with Rangers. Couldn't be on a Celtic, a Rangers podcast and pick Celtic, but I don't think they will anyway. I think Celtic have spent a lot of money. Have they got any better? I don't know. They brought in that guy from that Australian guy that plays midfield, and for the same, all they've done is sign the players that they had there already. So they've not really improved their squad. And I think we were far better, which you saw in the Old Firm, the last two Old Firm games, that we were far better than them anyway. So I don't see, I think we've strengthened in depth, and I don't see them having any difference to what they had last year. So I think, and I still say we threw away the league last year, Celtic didn't win it. So that's another point for me. So I'm putting Rangers in first place. I think it's always a two-horse race, isn't it? I don't see any other teams managing to get up and beating Celtic in the league. I'm going to go for third place. I'm going to differ, because I think Jim Goodwin will get Aberdeen up to a position where they can, where they're difficult to beat. That's his sort of a standard as well. He's a bit in the same sort of a mould as Derek who was he called? Derek
McInnes.
McInnes. He's sort of a same mould as him, isn't he? He sets his teams up to sort of a no lose before they go out to win. So I think Aberdeen, and then Hearts. I think Dundee United probably. And then I think Livingston. I think Livingston will pip Kilmarnock, but it could be the other way about. But I think they'll be this. I think they'll fight for the sixth place. So that's my sort of a predictions. And I think Rangers will win by 15 points.
You're wrapped up by me. There we go. I'll use mine then. You know, just so there'll be some fucking maniac saving this video to pull back in May. No doubt Craig Campbell or somebody for the pod will be watching. She's ready to post these videos back in. I'm also going to go St Johnston to get relegated. They've lost far too much. The players they've added on, they're pushing retirement. There's not a lot of excitement happening there. So I am going for the Super Jays to get relegated. Got to go Ross County second bottom, because again, it's just, I think I agree with David there that St Mirren always tend to find a last wee lease of life the last couple of months. They've got their Kyle Lafferty, but no, I don't see Ross County doing too well. That's my bottom two. Obviously, Rangers are going to win the league. I've said time and time again that I can never admit defeat. So, glass half full kind of guy. I'm always going to, even our first division up with Mark Warburton, I always said that I was convinced we were going to win the league. I wasn't putting on a brave face. I was just that naive that we were going to. So, that's my answer. Rangers will win the league. I think we have difference between Rangers and Celtic is we've added more depth into the first team. You can argue till the day's long who had the stronger first team, first 11 last season. It doesn't really matter. I think Rangers have added to it in a lot of positions. We've now got, worst comes to worst, the players that come in are just going to improve the players that were there already. So I'm going to go Rangers to win the league. Celtic second. I'm going to go Aberdeen third, Hearts fourth. Kind of along the same lines as you guys. I think Hearts do have a stronger squad, but I think they will struggle first half of the season. I dare rate Jim Goodwin as a manager. I think he's decent, so I think he'll be slow and steady, and that'll be enough to get them third. I'm actually going to go Hibs fifth. As much as it is a bit of a laughing stock, you know, I'd love them to be fighting relegation or even get relegated, but no, I don't see it. I do think still a decent enough squad there to be in the top six. And then I'm going to go Kilmarnock as well to beat off Livingston and Dundee United, etc. So that is my predictions, folks. Feel free to snippet that part of the video and send it to me in May when you can say this guy's a fortune teller, or send it to me in May when you can say this guy's a fucking idiot. Either way. So that's a quick hour and 10 minutes up. Boys, I think that's as good a time as any to wrap it up. Massive thank you to everybody who's watched in the live stream, chimed in with their comments. It's appreciated as always. And to everybody who's listening after the fact, whether it's on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, appreciate it. Over the next few weeks, we'll be on two pods a week. For the next three Mondays, we're going to have a live stream to review the weekend's game and look ahead to the European games. And then we'll have the old school audio recordings ready for you Thursday night or Friday mornings to look ahead to the weekend and get your weekend off to a fire. But all that's left to do is thank my three guests. It's been ages since we've done this. I've asked you for a thank you and sorry, a thank you, asked you for a goodbye and a prediction. Kick us off, Chris.
Cheers, mate. Thanks for getting us back on. And cheers to people for listening and tuning in. Prediction for me at the weekend, I'm going to go 3-1 again. Similar to the last time that we went. I think just with first game of the season, I think Livingston will probably want to be trying to go on the front foot where they can, other than, you know, the usual games where they came behind. I think they want to try and kind of attack us. So I'd imagine they'll maybe get something from somewhere, but certainly I fancy Rangers to win. So 3-1, Rangers.
Always a pleasure, Mason. Thanks for coming on again.
No, thanks for having us. It's been a while. Really enjoyed that. I'm going to go 3-0. I don't want to see Livingston score. But yeah, I agree with Chris. I do think they'll probably come out a little bit more than they usually would, and hopefully we can go and pick them off and Yeah, 3-0, Kolač first goal.
And last but not least, it's always a pleasure, David Tomlinson.
Well, thanks for having me on again. Really loved it. The thing is, I was going to say this before anyway, before Mason said 3-0, I was going to go 4-0, and I'm going to stick with that. I think Rangers will win 4-0. And I hope Colin comes back on. There he is, because Colin disappeared. So, I don't know what you heard, but I'm going 4-0 for Rangers.
4-0. Happy days, I'll take that. I'm going to go 4-1 Rangers. I think we'll see maybe the best and worst of Rangers in first game of the season. I think we'll go ahead quite early on, quite comfortably, maybe even 3-0 by half time, fourth goal in the second half, and then once we're pissing about and we've made all these subs and we've got Lovelace and goals and McGregor's up front, we'll maybe concede. But if we concede in the dying minutes when we're pissing about, it won't be the worst. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Have a good weekend. I hope your team wins on Saturday. And just remember, we are the people.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.